Well, good morning, class. We're so glad that you're with us today as we're talking about the price, the plan, and the promise. And before we could ever do any of it, I felt like we needed to understand what lies behind all three. What lies behind the promise, the price, the plan of God, okay? And the Lord led us to John 3:16, which is the hub, okay? The hub of all scriptures is John 3:16. So if you've not got your notebook and binder, see Rita, and she will give you the binder that you can take notes. And before we can ever get to the price, the promise, the plan, okay, there's some ground I feel like I need to cover that lays the mighty foundation that we can build the building up on. The bigger and the wider the foundation, the taller the building we can build. And we're going to build a big building these next few months about this great price that was paid, this great promise that was gave, and this great plan that God has brought us in to be a part of it. I want to go back to John 3:16 this morning. We're going to briefly talk about that, and then we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. Last week, we talked about the providence, okay? We talked about for God, okay? This morning, we're going to take the next two words, so loved, okay? So loved, so loved. The proof. If you're writing your notes, and you are, we talked about providence last week. We're going to talk about proof this morning, the proof of His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The hub of all scriptures is John 3:16. I have a major big subject to talk about this morning. I will not do it justice. I cannot tell it big enough. I cannot tell it great enough. I cannot tell it awesome enough. We can't speak it enough. We can't talk about it enough. We can't tell people enough about it. We're going to talk about this next part. So loved. So loved. Not just loved, but we mentioned last week in the class, the word so, so loved. The emphasis on so loved. Praise God, okay? We're going to talk about the proof of God's love. There were five things that came to me this morning in my prayer time about this, okay? Number one, it's the proof, okay? The proof of His love. We're going to talk about that this morning. There was four other things that the Lord began to stir me about this morning concerning this love of God. Number two, the power of God's love. How powerful it is. We don't understand it. We don't understand how powerful God's love is toward us. We're going to read about that in a few minutes. The purpose. Why did He love us? Why did He love us? The purpose of God's love to us. Fourthly, the promise. God promised His love. Can I tell you about His love? Way back in Genesis, right after the Antediluvian Age, that's a big word for meaning the flood, the Antediluvian Age, the Noahic Age, when the waters receded and Noah came out of the ark, what did God show him? A rainbow. And He made a vow and a covenant with Noah that He would never ever again flood the world as they knew it at that time. God was saying that out of His love. I will not do this again. There will be judgments from God now and in the future. But he will never, ever flood the world like that again because of his mighty love. They'll show you on National Geographic, you know. They'll show you on the Weather Channel, severe weather. They'll give you this contemplating how the earth is sinking and the waters are rising. You know, you've seen that. It's crazy. And how one day, if it keeps sinking like it's sinking, and the icebergs keep melting like they're melting, and the rivers keep coming up like they're coming up, that one day God will flood this whole world again. I thought, who wants to watch that? That is false. That is not true. We are living in covenant this morning that God said, I will not do that. Praise God. So, the promise of his love. And then lastly, the great provision. Not just the provision of the past. Are you ready for this one? Not just the provision of the past, because this scripture, okay, you ready for this? This scripture speaks about when you see the word loved, that is past tense. For God so loved, E-D, loved the world back then that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it's not just a love past. Thank God there's a love present. And I don't know about you, but you ought to feel God's love every day. You ought to experience the love of God every day. We'll give you scriptures. We're going to prove to you this morning. Proof is what we're talking about. Proof. So when we talk about that promise of God's love in the past, that promise of God's love in the present, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to go out today and tell you that there is a promise for the future.
Amen.
Because why? Because God is an unconditional loving God. Amen. Can I tell you this morning? I know this is going to split some churches. There is nothing you'll ever do that will make God not love you anymore.
That's right.
That's right. That's true. Hello? Now, I'm not talking about eternal security. I'm just talking about this morning. There's nothing you're going to do that's not going to make God love you. God loves you. Is there anything that your child can do today that you won't love them?
Nope.
Is there anything? I've told my children, there will nothing ever you will ever do that will make your father and mother love you less, but we love you more.
Yeah.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
I hope that's working in your life. You should not love your children less from the time they were born. You should love your children more from the time they were born. You should love, I shared this with Paula. God has helped us love our children in every season of their life. Amen? We love it. We love the season they're in. Pray, I'm going to tell you this. We love the season we're in. Amen. Ethan's got his loft. Danielle's got her apartment. And me and Miss Paula's got the big house by ourselves.
And the baby.
And the baby, Gracie. We love the seasons. You're going to love your children through the seasons they are in. Even when the seasons are not good, you better come on now. Even when the seasons are as not as great as you want them to be, you're going to still love your children. And it's the same way of God's promise of love to us. I'm going to love you, and here it is, forever. Forever. Let me tell you, that, my friend, is eternal security. I am eternally secure, Serena Smith, that God is going to love me forever. There are a group of people said, now, if you do this, God's not going to love you anymore. If you do this, God's not going to love you anymore. You better watch out. God's going to zap you for that one. It's like he's waiting to throw a thunder, a lightning bolt, and smack you dead. That is not who God is. You have a very, very warped description on who God is. Okay? You got to get past that one. There's a lot of people that's never got past that one right there. But I'm just so concerned. If I do this, God's not going to love me anymore. God's going to love you. God's going to, why? Because He wants you to get better. He keeps loving you, hoping and praying in His providence that you're going to have a turnaround in your life. I mean, even backsliders, God still loves the backslider. Well, no, you don't hear that word anymore. It's not mentioned in the church. It's not preached in the pulpit. Amen. But people do backslide. They do. Okay? We're not here preaching eternal security this morning. We're just telling you, I feel eternally secure that God has pardoned me in my past. Hello?
Yes.
He has pardoned me in my past. And He is giving me power in my present. And He's taking care of the promises in my future.
Yes.
Pardon me in my past. He has given me power in my present day. And God has promised my future is going to be awesomely great. I am here to tell you this morning on this May, what, the 16th, 2019, I have not seen my greatest days yet. I have not preached my greatest message yet. Pity the person that feels like they will never have another exciting day in their life. Pity the person that feels like I've traveled my last mile. I've taken my last trip. I've had my last bit of fun in life, and they're still 48 years old. That is pretty sad. No. I mean, me and Miss Paula, I'm telling you, it seems like more nowadays that we're talking about things we're going to do and making our bucket list. I mean, I was already early this morning looking at that Alaskan cruise already. Oh, yeah, I'm looking forward to that, Serena. And you're going to be out there with us. We're going on an Alaskan cruise. We're going to see whales swim, glaciers full of ice, and polar bears rolling in the snow, eating Eskimos. We're eating with the Eskimos in their igloos. Watching the salmon swim upstream. We're going to see it all, folks. If you think your life is over, let me bury you now and put you in a grave. He's pardoned me in my past. He's given me power in my daily living. And He's promised me the greatest future that I'll ever have. And that's the promise of God's love for us. He's got great things in store for us. God does. Everybody doesn't believe that. All church members don't believe that. They may be somebody sitting under the sound of my voice that don't believe that right now. Well, I'm here to tell you, that doesn't change God's love for me. Hallelujah. That doesn't change God's plan for me, God's great promise for me. He hasn't. I am here to set the record straight this morning, and I got proof and evidence that God loves us. I have proof and evidence that God loves us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through verses 7. Proof number one. Are you ready for this? Proof number... I'm just about to get excited. Praise God. I don't know when I'll cover all five things. The power of His love, the purpose of His love, the promise of His love, the provision of His love this morning. And I don't know how much longer we're going to talk about proof. Proof. The proof is in... What does it say? The proof is in the pudding? I don't know what they mean by that. Whether it sets or not, okay? And whether it tastes good. The proof is in the pudding. Well, I've seen some few puddings. The proof was in the pudding, and it wasn't good. I mean, the proof was the pudding. But I tell you, the proof is in the pudding. The proof, number one, the proof is in the Word of God. Amen. The proof that God loves us, like here, where it says in John 3:16, for God so loved, the proof is, number one, that God loves us here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. But God, y'all ready for this one? There it is. I love two word statements. Last week we talked about for God. This morning we're talking about but God. Remember when I preached on that? Brother Tom sent me and said, Robert, our theme this weekend is on but God. But God. And I said, man, I can preach on that one. They made t-shirts and we wore t-shirts that weekend. But God. And I'm telling you, when you get to, somebody said, they're sick unto death, but God. They're broke, but God. Are you getting that? But, remember what I told you about that word, but? It's a conjunction. It's a conjunction. Okay, if we went back, Don, let's go back to 1, 2, and 3 in this verse. Verses 1, 2, and 3. Are you ready for this? Because we'll go back to but God, because there had to be something said. And in the first three verses of this second chapter. See, I love Ephesians. And I love Philippians. That's the Be Rich book. But I tell you, Ephesians, of all Pauline's epistles, Ephesians could possibly be one of my favorite ones, okay? I mean, I love Romans because it's the Roman road, but Paul gets into a lot of theology and a lot of theology there. And I love Ephesians. When he was writing, remember when we went to Ephesus, okay? We went to Ephesus on the cruise. We went to Ephesus, and when we went there, we found out now why. No wonder God called him to Ephesus. They needed God. They needed God in a mighty way. He's written this letter to the church of Ephesus, which is in Turkey, okay? And it says here, verse number 1, and you hath he quickened, for you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses. Now, was that you? Was you dead in your trespasses? Well, the Bible said you was. So you've been dead before. You don't think you were, but you were dead. You were dead in your sins. So I love what Dr. Dake says. He said, there's possibly 4, 5, or 6 resurrections. You know, all we hear about is the resurrection of Jesus Christ, but there's a lot of resurrections. You have already went through one resurrection in your life. Did you hear me? You've already went through one resurrection in your life, and that is the resurrection Paul is writing to the church of Ephesus in chapter 2 and verse number 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein times past ye walked according to the course of this world. Notice this. You walked, number one, you walked according to the course of this world, and you did. And you did. According to the prince of the power of the air, and you did. According to the spirit that now working the children of disobedience, and you did. Disobedience is not doing what the law says. You got that just then, didn't you? Disobey the law and go out here and do 85 miles an hour on Highway 69, north or south, they're going to get you. You're going to get a ticket. You disobeyed the law, okay? And you were disobeying, you were children of disobedience. Disobedient to the law of God's love, okay? And that's what he said here, okay? Let's read on number 3. Among who also we've all had our conversation in times past. Notice what he's saying here, times past. He's used that word twice now. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others. That's you. Everybody say that. Boy, that was me.
That was me.
Amen. Look at verses 1, 2, and 3, and everybody say it. That was me. I lived up every bit of that. I was a children of disobedient. I mean to tell you, I did everything that was, I walked according to the world, to the spirit of the devil, the spirit of the enmity of God. I walked in the flesh. I walked in that, every bit of that. I fulfilled every bit of that. I was dead in my trespasses and my sins. How was that person? That made me a candidate
for the great love of God.
Now, there are some of you may have been a prime candidate for the love of God. I was getting to be a prime candidate at 16 years of age. I needed the love of God in my life. I've read you verse 3, 1, 2, 3. Let's go back here and read verse 4. And that's why you see the conjunction, but God. All those other first three verses has just been taken care of, has just been done away with, has just, when a judge says, I'm going to scrub your record, okay? I'm going to scrub it. What'd you say?
Sponge.
It's sponged. Okay? You do the same thing with a sponge. You just scrub it. And some of you need scrubbing more than others because you were filthy rags. The Bible said you were filthy in your sins. You had a filthy conversation. You had a filthy mind. I'm telling you, it's one thing not to be very dirty. You just jump in the shower, you know. But I'm telling you, when you're dirty and you're filthy, you got to get in there and you got to scrub. And God scrubbed our record. He has sponged our record through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, this is big this morning. But God, who is rich in mercy, everybody say, God's rich in mercy. There it is. For His great love, wherewith He loved us. Can I tell you that God's love is great this morning? I'm telling you, proof number one that we have been quickened and made alive in Jesus Christ. That is the proof. Show me the proof. Let me take you back to when I was 14, 15, and 12 years old. Okay, let me take you back when I'm early 16. I had just very early. I got saved on March the 26th. That was 17 days after I just had my 16th birthday. You don't even want to know and go there on my 16th birthday what took place. But I'm telling you, 17 days later, in a little holiness church, I heard the message, Miss Lorraine, and the Spirit of God wrapped up me, and I felt the love of God wooing me, calling me, beckoning me, praise God. And I'm telling you, all of a sudden, God's love became greater than my biggest sin. You just missed a great time to get excited about that one just then. I mean, praise God. God's love was bigger than my greatest sin.
Amen.
Roll them up. I don't know what would be the biggest sin today. Well, I don't even know what the biggest sin would be today. But roll them up and stack them up. I mean, line them up one after another. And I'm telling you one thing, it doesn't matter how big the line is, how long the line is, how bad the line is. Thank God the love of God will take care of every bit of that, because there's nothing as black as sin and nothing as red as blood and nothing as white as your soul when the blood gets applied to it. Oh, hallelujah. The devil hates the blood. It's a bloodline he cannot cross. When he looks at me, he got to see the blood. When he looks at me, he's got to see Jesus on the cross. He ain't seeing me anymore. He is seeing the righteousness of God in Christ in me. I am resurrected. I am set free. Praise God. But God who is, I'm trying to contain myself. But God who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Verse number 5. Are y'all ready for this one? Are y'all ready for this one? The Bible tells us even when we were dead in sins. Now write another verse down. Chapter 5 of Romans and verse number 8. Now, Miss Paula, make and look that one up and shoot it to us. But look up Romans, because this is the scripture that has arrested me since last week when I was going to talk about proof. The proof of God's love. Romans 5 and 8 tells us, praise God. Brother Donna, pull that up. But we're talking about proof number one, proof that we are quickened in Christ Jesus, his expression to us was mercy. I've got mercy. I have had mercy on you. Aren't you glad of that? Mm-hmm. Thank God. Thank God. I'm reminded of the story that the woman wanted her picture painted. She got in front of this famed artist. He was the best of all the best. She sat there on her little chair and he painted her picture, and it come time for her to see it. And he turned it around and she says, "Oh my goodness, you didn't do me justice." And that painter looked at her and said, "Ma'am, it wasn't justice you needed. You needed mercy." Proof we were quickened by his mercy and love. We were in trespasses. We were dead. Say, I know it's not politically correct, but you were hell bound. I know you don't hear very much about that, but you were hell bound. Yeah. And I'm going to go a step further. You were hell deserving. Yeah. We were. You're not going to hear that preach that, but we deserved it. We didn't deserve what we got.
Oh, no, we didn't.
If you would have got what you should have got, can you imagine you trampled over the love, the blood of Christ? You went against God's word. You went against this cross that hung there for you to die. You turned your back on God. You may have been taught to do right and walked away from it. You know, you deserve hell. You deserve going there. Let me tell you, but I want to tell you, thank God, mercy stepped in where grace, where sin abounded. The Bible said the grace of God doth much more abound. And when we should have went to hell, God slipped us a passport to paradise and said, "This day you're going to be with me." He told a thief on the cross. That thief didn't teach a Sunday school class. That thief never read a Bible verse. That thief never got baptized. That thief never rode a Sunday school bus. That thief never sang in a choir. But Jesus Christ took out time from dying to slip him a passport to paradise and said, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." My, 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 my. The proof of God's love. Every one of us was headed to hell. We were headed for torment. We had bypassed every roadblock, mama's prayers, the preacher's word. We had bypassed every roadblock we could ever do. There was nothing we could do about our sins. You can't do nothing about your sins. You can't, because there's only one that can. So we deserved hell. We deserved it. We was not able to understand fully what the word of, what the love of God was really all about, because the Bible tells us, thank you, Holy Spirit. I think it's right here in the book of Ephesians that we were alienated. We were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We were aliens of the cross. The Bible speaks that we were enemies of the cross. But thank God, the proof of God's love is this. And here it is. Let's read it while I say, "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." When we were lost, he commended. No, I am not preaching a heresy here this morning. I'm preaching from the Bible. And he said, while we were even lost, God commended his love toward us. God was shooting his love toward us. God was pushing his love towards us. Come on now. He said, I love you. You can come in here. I love you. I love you. Even when we were lost. Well, if God can love us that much when we're lost, how much can God love us since we're saved? Amen. Proof of God's love. 4 and 5. We were dead in our trespasses, but God quickened us and made us alive. Let's go back, Brother Don. Praise God. The proof of God's love. The proof of God's love. Trespasses. What does that mean? We were going on property that we didn't supposed to be there. We were trespassing. There was a trespassing indictment against us. We were dead in our sins. There was nothing good about us. Not whatsoever. No, not any, the Bible said. No, not one. But God still loved us. That's the resurrection. Praise God. Notice this. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. Remember, don't go there. Go back to 5 and 8. What did he say? He commended his love to us while we were yet sinners. Verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Oh my goodness. I got to sit down on that one because you got to watch that one real quick. Who was we? We was quickened together with Christ. We were put right up there with Christ because God said, I love you. I love you. Quickened us, made us alive through Christ. Are you ready for this one? By grace. By grace. When John Newton, that old cursing sailor, that atheist that didn't believe in God, that had the most foul language, a sailor. You know, when you heard that saying, curse like a, in the South, they would say, cuss like a sailor. That's who he was. That's who he was. John Newton fit the bill to every bit of that. And one night in a storm fell overboard and was drowning. And they threw out a lifeline to him. And they pulled him back to the boat, and he realized at the first time in his life, there must be a God that loves me. And he sat down and took out his pen. He gave his heart to God, and one day he was there thinking about God's love, and he began to write this song. Amazing grace. Let's sing it. How sweet. Praise God.
That saved a wretch like me. I once was lost.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. John Newton wrote that. So if a guy as bad as he was and as wicked as he was could write, I mean, honestly, it could possibly be the anthem of every believer. The amazing grace of God. The amazing love of God. Can I help you? He loved us when we wasn't lovable. He reached us when we were unreachable. He came to us when nobody could find us. Oh, the love of God, my friend. What is the proof? The proof is in the pudding. I stand here this morning, resurrected, forgiven of my sins and my trespasses, and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. No wonder he would say, for God so loved the world. What does that tell me? It tells me that God has a heart for those that are lost. He's got a mind for those that was lost. Oh, I just heard that Holy Spirit. He's got the longest arm in the world. He can reach to the places unreachable. He's got the biggest heart in the world. He can love to that person that's so unlovable. That's who God is. That's what God's love is. And before we can ever talk about the price, what made him pay the price for us, and the promise he has given us, and the plan he has left us, us, we got to know who this God is all about.
Right.
So I'm giving you a brief synopsis this morning of the background of really who God is and what God means to us. Thank God. As I said earlier, here's love is everlasting. Everlasting. Tell somebody, look to somebody right now and say, His love will never leave me or withdraw from me. His love. I was just reading this morning of a couple that had been in our city, and they were put up on the pedestal. They were celebrities of our city. His wife was speaking in churches, and they were the epitome of a family. Yesterday, both filed for divorce. Filed for divorce. What? Because somewheres the love for each other became not everlasting. When we made a vow to each other, do you listen to me this morning? What does that vow say? When we stood before that preacher or that justice of the peace, what did we vow? We vowed to each other through thick and through thin, through riches, through poor. What else? Sickness and in health. We were making a vow of an everlasting love that would nothing ever come to divorce us from that love of each other. Oh my goodness, I'm about to run this morning. Glory to God. God made a covenant with us and vowed to us that my love is everlasting. I'm going with you all the way to the end of the world. Oh, about to get excited. No wonder Paul would say, neither height, neither death, nor principalities, or powers, or death, nothing coming my way will separate the love of God from me.
Amen.
I don't know what else I got to say to get you excited this morning. There's some of you sitting around like you're a stump on a log or something. You don't understand the love of God that's been paid for you. You don't understand the price that's been paid for you. Don't you know every time that drop of blood fell from that cross, He was doing it for you? You didn't deserve it. You should have been sent to hell.
Yeah.
But mercy stepped in. Yeah. Judgment was coming, and He had it in His hands to handcuff you and take you to the bad place. So how much did God love us? Just show me a picture of a stretched out hands on the cross, and that'll tell you and show you how much He loved us. And I'm here to tell you this morning that that cross still stands and His heart still loves us and God's got special things for us. I am the proof of that today. Praise God, you're the proof of that today. I don't know if I'm even going to finish 4 and 5, but I want to tell you, we are resurrected in Christ. The Bible said, I got to get to that, Don. The Bible said here, verse number 6, He hath raised us. No, I want to go back to verse number 5. Hath quickened us together with Christ. I want to tell you one thing. When I was 16, I never thought me and Christ would have never been in the same sentence unless it was a bad word. Hello? That's why you should be very careful how you use the word Christ. I've heard people say, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Don't you do that.
No.
Don't you do that. Even goes further when they use God's name in vain.
Yeah.
Turn the TV off. Yes. Turn the program off.
Yes.
You are irreverent to the Holy Spirit. You are irreverent to what the cross is for us. Don't do that.
Amen.
Change the channel.
Yes.
Amen. That's not the God who I serve. That's not, the God I serve loved me when I was unlovable, reached me when I was unreachable. He never withdrew His love from me when I was lost. He could have sent me to hell, but He didn't. He never He was drawing me with the cords of love into His kingdom. I'm going to just keep loving Him. I'm just going to keep loving Him. He's coming. I'm loving. He's coming. And oh, that night, the greatest home run in the world, when I left that third seat at Foster Grove Church and I ran home to my Father and I fell in His arms and I said, God, Your love's going to wash me tonight. I ain't never looking back. I'm never turning back. I'm never going back. And I want to tell you, 7 years later, I'm still loving God, and God's still loving me. And I'm trying to tell it as big as I can this morning that we got a God that loves us. It doesn't matter what we do, where we go, God loves us.
Yes, He does.
Hallelujah. Well, that just messes up some people's theology. Oh, yeah, they preach it. It's sorry preaching. It is not the Word of God. It is not the Word of God, what they're saying. He hath raised us up together to make us. Okay, here's the second slash, okay? I told you, He raised us up together with Christ. Here it is, verse number 6. He hath raised us up together and made us. Look at the word U.S. How many times did it mention U.S.? Us. He hath raised us up and made us sit together in a heavenly place. Hellish place to heavenly place. I got to quit. But you know what David said? David said, I was in a miry pit. I was in a horrible pit. Remember what David said? David said, but He raised me out of that horrible pit. Praise God. He established my goings, and He put a song on my lips. So David said, He raised me up, He cleansed me up, and He tuned me up. He put a song in my heart. It was a horrible pit. It was a sorrowful pit. But He has raised us up. I have taken you a long way this morning. Before we started this fourth verse, over there in verse number 3 and 2, you and your trespasses, you and your sins, but something took place. But verse number 4 tells us, but God, rich in mercy and great love, He loved us. There's the U.S. again. He loved us. Not only He loved us. Okay, number 1, He loved us. He quickened us. Number 3, He raised us. Number 4, He made us. Look at that. Loved us. Oh, God, help us. Quickened us. Raised us. Made us sit together in a heavenly place. That's why we're here this morning. How sweet and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, that's good preaching on Thursday morning, Brother Robert. Praise God. Well, I don't think I'm going to get to proof number 3 this morning. Not going to get to proof number 3. I am trying to prove to you this morning. I have people say, well, I don't know if God loves me anymore. Well, where'd that come from? I don't thank God. Well, you don't know what I've done. God doesn't either. God don't know what you've done. All He can see is the blood of Jesus Christ and what's been buried. God sees His love towards you. His sin, it's already been, price has already been paid. Amen. But my sins, you don't even know the Scriptures. God said He took your sins and He buried them in the ocean and put up a no fishing sign. The devil can't fish the sins up anymore. Why don't you quit fishing your sins up? You're the one that keeps bringing it up. God doesn't. Boy, that just nailed somebody. God's not bringing your sins up anymore. You're the ones that's doing it. Well, I don't know if I'm worthy enough. Oh, I don't know if I deserve it. Well, you don't. You deserve hell. You should have been sent to hell. But, oh, none of us. But let me tell you, the grace of God, guys, that is the proof of the pudding, that God quickened us and made us alive and raised us up to sit with Jesus Christ in heavenly places. Oh, what more proof do we need? What more proof do we need? Many years ago, in an insane asylum, you know what I'm going to read this morning. In an insane asylum was a person that was deranged in their mind. They were placed there because they could not think logical thoughts and live logical lives. And maybe he had died. And they came to his cell. And he had written on the wall here the last words of the stanza of the song that I'm going to read to you. I want to tell you, you have got to believe there is nothing past redeemable, nothing past reachable, nothing past lovable. To write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win his erring child. He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who here refuse to pray and on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so pure shall still endure and measureless and strong, redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. And here's the verse he wrote on the wall. Could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Somewheres that insane man got a glimpse. Proof that God loves us. Now what you need to do, you need to get your proof written down. And the next time the enemy comes, you say, well, let me bear the proof and evidence this morning that you, my friend, are wrong. And you read off the proof to him. Read off the statement and the fact of faith that God's Son died for me. Praise God. Father, thank you this morning for the love of God, the proof that God loved us while we were in sin and trespasses, commended his love to usward, as Romans 5 and 8 tells us. And Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7 tells us, or 8 tells us, that Lord, his love to us made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ, raised us up together. That is the proof of the pudding. That we that were once one time in trespasses and lost in sins, there was no gap that he couldn't fill. There was no path he couldn't find. There was no mountain he couldn't climb. There was no river he could not cross, or desert he would not burn and walk across. God's love found us. Hounds of heaven found us. And thank God, Lord, for your love this morning. Thank God for the proof that God loves us. And everybody said, amen.